multiple things, but talking about practice, we'll be starting momentarily Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my auntie. We'll be starting momentarily, but as we do, want to take a moment to read, do some underwriting. I'll do the reading of the underwriting. How about that? We'll do that. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Downtown Chico Business Association. Supporting Downtown Chico for over 40 years, the DCBA presents the Thursday Night Market from April 5th through September 27th. You'll find farm fresh produce, fresh cut flowers, herbs, arts, and crafts, locally prepared foods, live music, and more. For details and vending applications, visit downtownchico.com and keep Chico vibrant by shopping downtown. So we got a big show. Some news happened in NBA free agency yesterday. I don't know if you heard. So we'll get to that. And we are excited because we have our LA correspondent in the building. So we got a big, big show. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to that. Talking about practice starts right now.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show starts right now. I am Jarrell Gelber, and alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, the bearded bandito, Derek Isumaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And his sister, the Isumaki I like most in this room, our LA correspondent, Aaron Isumaki, is here.
Hey there, it's popping.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm used to it being all dudes in here.
It's okay.
It's nice to switch it up. And of course, Statman Brad.
How's it going?
John's still on vacation. Good time to go on vacation. It's not like there's a lot to talk about right now, so.
Get away when you can.
Yes. Speaking of what we're going to talk about right now, Derek, what is on the rundown for today?
That is right, y'all. We have a show for you because there's still stuff happening. Because guess what? There's free agents. Free agents everywhere. That is right. That free agency has started off with a bang as Lance Stephenson has become a Laker.
Yep. What?
Cannot wait. Oh, this guy named LeBron James decided to join up with him over there.
What?
Apparently he likes those that blowing action, so he wants to get a little more of it. Paul George is apparently a fan of that late night Chili's in OKC as he wants back in. Again, like I said, we do have our great LA correspondent here live in studio with a little Wimbledon update. A North State update from our man Statman Brad. World Cup, it continues to deliver, and we have a real Italian in the studio break it all down. F1 and a live World from Series of Poker update as well.
So, really?
Woo. Wow. Poker.
Yeah. All right.
We're going all over the place, y'all.
Wow.
All over the place.
So obviously we have to start with the big news of yesterday. The Lakers signed a former world champion, JaVale McGee, and LA is going crazy.
It is fantastic.
Honestly,
man.
Probably one of their best pickups so far.
Yep, absolutely. No, obviously, LeBron is now an LA Laker. There has been rumors about this for the past 2 years. I think the people around him did a decent job of trying to quiet those rumors and keep us all guessing. But according to Vegas, for the last 2 years, the Lakers were the clubhouse leader to land LeBron, and now they have landed LeBron, and we have two Lakers fans in the building. So, Derek, let's start with you. Your reaction.
I didn't believe it, honestly. I didn't think he was coming to L.A. I always thought it was just a lot of glitz and glam. And I was waiting for, I did not expect it to come out this way, too. I honestly was expecting another
decision
type thing. Because it was that momentous, I felt. His presence, him moving, was even more so than the last time he did it, I feel. So you expected a little bit more build-up to it instead of just a, bam, one day I get a text on my phone that's an update on my phone that says, hey, LeBron James signs a 4-year deal with the Lakers.
And yeah, there was no decision.
Nope. It was just boom.
Well, hey. There was a decision, just not
but we were, we didn't see it, which I appreciate him for doing that. Yeah. But at the same time,
to his credit and his maturity, he didn't make the same mistake he made last time.
I would have liked it this time, though. I would have wanted it this time. I wanted to see that.
As a Laker fan, I'm thankful he didn't do that. Yeah. I like that it was kind of just under the radar. And he was like, I'm here.
Yeah. He did it on a Sunday evening. It was funny. The Jump, ESPN's NBA show, was on for 6 hours yesterday. Right as they went off air, the news was announced.
He's probably waiting. He was like, all right, they're done now.
Yeah, okay, go now figure. Go figure. Did not hook up his boy, Brian Windhorst. So there's all sorts of stuff to get to on this move. I think, well, let's start with the personal stuff. LeBron is considerably older than he was the last time he made the decision to come back to Cleveland. I believe he was 28 when he made that decision. He's 33 now. His kids, Bronny, is in high school. All his companies are in L.A. Uninterrupted. I always get him confused with Undisputed. Uninterrupted, his media company is there. Clutch Sports, his sports agency is there, which we'll get into in a minute because there's some funny things going on with that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Then he's always said he wanted to be a movie star. So now he is in, he's in Hollywood.
Space Jam.
Yeah, Space Jam 2's supposed to come out. His company owns the rights to that. So obviously being in L.A. Makes a lot of sense. Were you, you said you were surprised that he
came?
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone said he was coming here. Or not here, L.A.
Yes.
To L.A.
Correct.
And I just didn't think he was. I didn't want to hold out that hope in there. I thought we were going to go a different route other than getting LeBron. But when I saw Paul George not coming to L.A.,
yeah,
which we can get a little bit later, but I was like, okay, we're getting probably LeBron. That made me think, okay, maybe we'll have a good chance at LeBron now. Because I didn't think Paul George was a good piece for the puzzle that is called LeBron James.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, though. Were you at all, Aaron?
Stunned.
Really?
Stunned. I didn't think he was going to come. I just didn't. You know, I saw a meme that was out there, and it was like, or maybe it was Joel Embiid who tweeted out, you know, the Lakers will always be the Kobe and Shaq era. Like, he'll never live that down. And so I kind of thought he wouldn't want to come here because we are Kobe and Shaq, and to try and take that duo down,
yeah,
it's going to be tough. But so I was stunned. I'm still shocked.
I can't wait to watch a bunch of Kobe fans have to root for LeBron now. This is so great for me. This is the one good thing of the trade that came of it for me.
Wait, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is big news right now.
What just happened?
The Warriors have landed DeMarcus Cousins.
No!
Get out of here.
No, they did not.
No, they did not.
Are you kidding?
No, they did not.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, baby! Woo!
According to
who reports it?
This is from Bleacher Report right now. I'm pulling up.
Are
right
you
now
kidding me?
To see where this is actually coming from.
This is a live
This is a live.
Let's get back to this. Goodness. This is insane.
Hold on. Yeah.
I am so excited right now.
That is an interesting game changer right there.
That is big. So I was going to say, the Lakers were looking at him too. So,
all right, this is from Yahoo Sports. Apparently, he's the first one to report it right now at this point, saying that DeMarcus Cousins has agreed to deal with the Golden State Warriors.
That's insanity.
Holy cow.
Wow. That changes a lot of where this conversation was going to go. But let's get back to that. let's make sure it's all verified.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll do some research.
Come on, Statman
Brad.
Why am I dropping this stat?
Because it didn't come up on my phone.
Good. It's all good.
That is insane.
I got something special out
you
there.
You have Apple. I have Android.
All right. There we go.
Oh my God. I am.
That is news.
I'm euphoric right now. Wow. That changes a lot. Wow.
Dude, look at that. TBP, breaking news to the North State area.
You're welcome.
You Golden State Warrior fans out there.
Yes.
Talking about practice. So, second to the news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The real news.
We'll take that. We'll take that.
Let's go back to LA and stay with that for a second while we kind of sort this out and I come down off my high.
Soak it all in, baby.
Yes. So obviously, we talked about Paul George staying in Oklahoma City. I thought that was probably the best thing that could have happened for your Lakers.
He was not. We've talked about it. Paul George has not been the same Paul George since that leg injury, that horrific leg injury.
Yeah, he really hasn't. And I think one thing one of the reasons he wanted to stay in OKC is since he broke his leg, I think he wanted to be the number two guy on the team. I don't think he wanted to be number one anymore.
It takes a lot to be a number one guy out there.
Yeah, yeah. Brad, your face is stunned.
Okay, so Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski. So he confirmed it. Legitimate. So it's like a legit.
So it's legit. Real.
Cousins, 1 year, $5.3 million.
Wow.
$5.3 steal.
He wants
an absolute
oh
steal.
Oh, my God. I am so excited right
so
now.
So that's a good trade-up from JaVale McGee. Or, wow. JaVale I'm just McGee. Like, I'm yeah. just, oh, wow.
Yeah, we're all.
All right. That is an interesting decision right now.
Where's my update? Yeah.
Seriously, where's
what's going on?
How do you not have one as a Warrior?
I know, I have like eight different Warriors apps on my phone, too. What's going on? This is crazy.
This has been a ridiculous offseason.
Why is it that every single year the offseason has gotten better and better? They're finally realizing and utilizing this offseason time. Well, about time, NBA. We've taken forever to get to this point.
Here's the thing. A lot of the players are now realizing, oh, wait, the teams really don't care about me. Better make money for myself or the rings for myself. I got to go to the places that are actually going to take care of me and that are actually conducive of a championship environment. So that's what they're all realizing. You're not making your team anymore. It's go to the place that's making it and then make your money and then go somewhere else that's not making it. And that's where you're going to
Well, who'd we start off talking about? LeBron. He changed all of that. Yep. With the decision in 2010, he changed all of that. Besides this new deal and his original extension with the Cavs, he's always taken short-term deals, so he had the power and the leverage to remain flexible and put the onus on the team to make moves to keep them competitive, or he had the leverage to say, I'm walking. And he's the one who's kind of started all this. Now, imagine from Cleveland's standpoint. 2 years ago, you had Kyrie and LeBron, two of the top 10 players in the league.
I'm about to conquer Mount Everest right now.
And all of a sudden, 2 years later, you have neither one of those dudes.
Uh-oh, I'm trapped in the storm and I can't get up there.
And
I'm falling down.
You still have Dan Gilbert as your owner.
Uh-oh, there's a crevice. I'm in it. I'm stuck.
But, you know, LeBron did what he needed. Thank you for
what?
LeBron did what he needed to do. He, I don't want to say single-handedly because Kyrie hit that huge shot in Game 7 to beat the Warriors. But they did come back from 3-1 deficit. That's never happened before. They beat a 73-win regular season team, which has obviously never happened before. And so, I mean, Cleveland fans, I'm sure they have mixed emotions today. But we knew this was coming.
They had to. No one wants to stay in Cleveland.
Right.
And they weren't doing anything for him. Why was he going to stay? It was deja vu all over again. So I think Cleveland handled it much better this time around than last time. You know, I think everyone saw that where someone put the paper down and said, thank you.
Right.
Because what were you going to do? You can't be mad at him again. You didn't do anything exactly like when the decision happened. So you're going to be mad at him when you did exactly the same thing last time? Nah. All you can do is say thank you. That's it. That's all they had.
I think also he got him a championship. So that also kind of eases the pain of all right, you got us a championship.
Yeah,
you can go do your thing now. You promised that you were going to come back.
He delivered on his promise.
And that's what, I mean,
a
lot of fans are saying.
It just shows you what money-grubbing whores Cleveland fans are. All they want is championships.
Well, but also, here's the thing.
Isn't that what we all want, though?
I'm just saying.
We all are. He doesn't want rings.
Yeah, well, except Melo. Melo wants the money.
I'll make my own fake championship.
I was watching an ESPN piece about, the LeBron effect and, what the economy looks like with and without LeBron.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be leaving Cleveland because of all the tourists and all just what LeBron brings. And that also means a lot of jobs are going to leave Cleveland now because of that. So it's going to be an interesting effect to see.
I mean, imagine how many people just went to Cleveland to see that poster of him hanging on the 10th
story building. And they're already going to take it down. Why? Yeah. Just leave it.
Are they really?
They're going to take it down.
It's gone.
It's history.
It was an hour after. He signed with the Lakers. It was gone.
They should have already built this monument for this guy over there.
There should be a bronze statue.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The Ronaldo one, maybe.
Well,
they messed up.
The first one.
Maybe after he retires. It'll be one of LeBron blocking Draymond Green in Game 7. So
It was Andre Iguodala.
Iguodala.
Statman Brad, come on, buddy.
Sorry.
Please.
You have one job.
Hey, it finally updated. There we go.
I still don't have... Oh, God.
Really? Hey.
I don't know what's happening.
Android wins right now.
I do. So let's go back to the future of the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They made some other moves. So let's talk about the basketball side of things. Obviously, Kawhi's going to the Lakers.
Yep.
It's only a matter of if it's this year via trade or it's next year. He has killed all the Spurs' leverage in trading him by saying he wants to be in L.A. And so
it's either the Spurs, do they want something for him or do they want to spite the Lakers for a year? That's what the Spurs are, the conundrum they're in right now.
Right. And that's a tough position because
they would want to spite the Lakers for the year, but they also want to get something for him.
And they have to get something for him.
You better.
Or you're starting completely over with the coach and Greg Popovich, who's been there. This will be his 18th year or 19th year, I believe, with the franchise. How much left does he have? You know, and does he want to start the rebuilding process?
And didn't his wife just die?
She just passed.
Yeah. How much longer does he want to go?
Right. Yeah. And I think that relationship was obviously fractured with Kawhi basically deciding to sit out the year. And again, like I said, with Kawhi's people coming out and saying he wants to be a Laker, that's the only place he wants to go, and him only having 1 year left on his deal, that really, a team like Boston, who was definitely in the mix to trade, now they're like, well, why would I give you any of our great assets? You know,
they're still rebuilding. They're still trying to formulate a team.
Right.
They don't want to give up that team to be able to get a guy for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he lasts.
And, you know, if he had 2 years left on his deal, you think, okay, we get him in here for 2 years. Maybe the city embraces him. Maybe we make a run at a championship, get into the finals, especially now that LeBron's not there in the East. And now, you know, we can retain this guy. But you have 1 year. You can't give up everything for a guy for 1 year coming off an injury. You just can't. And especially a guy like Jason Tatum or some of those future first rounders, why would you give those up to rent a guy for a year now?
It's not worth it.
It's not. So it looks like at some point Kawhi will be joining. I thought DeMarcus was the other piece.
I really did too. I mean, that's in the update there. I had what's the next piece? Kawhi, Boogie. Obviously, we can take that away. Boogie. I think I kind of appreciate this move by Boogie. It shows a certain level of maturity a lot of people have not associated with him. A guy that's willing to take a lot less money, $5.3 million.
Yes.
He could get a lot more right that from a lot
he's
of people.
He's a max player.
Without a doubt. I'm at least $90 million for 4 years.
And right now he's just showing, maybe I want to go to this team, see what it's like to actually win.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean to win? Because these guys have clearly proven they've been finals 4 years in a row, and they're the best team in the
league. And they enjoy themselves when they're playing. It's like, whether they lose or win, they're having a good time. They win more than they lose, but...
That makes it easier.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier, but they enjoy it. They have a good time. I can't remember who said it at the end of the season, but they were having some issues in-house.
Yeah. David West came out and said it.
No one knew.
Boogie's like, perfect. I don't like people knowing about my dark side.
Exactly. Plus, like, they're mature enough to handle it in-house. Yeah. They don't have to, like, go to the media. It's like, well, Steph Curry was doing this to me, and I don't like it.
And so I'm not going to lie. I think that's a big reason as to why he didn't want to come to L.A. and play for LeBron. LeBron has kindly seen time shown he's a very passive-aggressive style person to his own teammates at times. And Boogie does not respond well to passive aggressiveness.
Plus, you also have the ball and Kuzma. The rap battles are going on between each other.
I think that would be more fun than anything.
But that's fun.
That's fun in games.
They're good friends, they do it as ribbing to each other.
I mean,
if you don't rib your friends, it's fun.
Yeah,
but, not passive aggressive. Kuz isn't trying to tell Lonzo he's not a good player.
No, of course. But are you like actually focusing on basketball? Or are you focusing on your rap career?
I think that's a little. I mean, I think that's a little bit more besides the point. Other than because he saw what happened to Kyrie.
Yeah, and the days of players just shut up and just play and just train and like that's way over.
Well,
I don't care what you're doing in the off season.
But are you focused when it comes to game time? And I don't know.
Does me seeing them joking out on the side of the court, does that make me think they're not?
No, I think that's
actually a good camaraderie.
But what I will say is, I don't know if you guys had a chance to read the Lee Jenkins piece on Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. He's the same guy who crafted the letter. Well, I'm sure LeBron's people crafted the letter, and Lee Jenkins put it out last time he left from Miami to go back to Cleveland. But if you'll remember, in 2010, he left a certain player off the list that LeBron said he was looking forward to playing with, and that was Andrew Wiggins. And then a week later, Andrew Wiggins was up out of there, and boom, Kevin Love is now on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this piece, he mentioned how much LeBron is going to be a good fit with Kyle Kuzma, Ingram, and did not mention Lonzo Ball.
Ooh.
So where's Ball going?
Which is interesting, because I honestly think Lonzo Ball is... I mean, he's going to need to learn how to shoot regardless of where he goes, but playing with LeBron, he isn't a ball-dominant point guard.
Mm-mm.
He is a pass-first point guard. He has great vision. And we've never really seen LeBron play with a point guard like with the same attributes that Lonzo Ball has. So I wanted to get from what we have today for the Lakers team. They obviously, they signed LeBron. That was a big deal. They re-signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope yesterday, who happens to be a Clutch Sports athlete, LeBron's company. They also signed JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson. There's so many clowns in that locker room right now. It's unbelievable. Like, besides LeBron, who's the adult in that locker room?
None.
They really don't have one. It's just going to be
Luke
Daddy
Walton,
LeBron.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Luke Walton and LeBron were drafted in the same year?
31 picks after LeBron was Walton.
Just 31? That's
just
31.
It?
That's
Wait, so he was in the first round?
He was in the first round.
He was the last
32nd pick of the...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke Walton, first round pick.
And
Walton,
now he's coaching the number one pick of the 2000. Was
he was the Lakers pick, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah,
was he that year?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure,
Well, he went to the Lakers. So with this team, as it's currently constructed... obviously, there's going to be changes. They're going to add to their team. Other teams are going to be adding to their roster, as we just found out with Boogie, and we'll get into that a little bit more later in the show. Where do you see this team? Let's not go all the way down to the playoffs yet. We could get there. Where do you see this team just as far as seeds kind of falling at the end of the year? Where do you see them ranking?
They're going to be a 50-plus win team, I feel.
Yes.
With LeBron, automatically you get that 50-plus wins. He's like that. That's like his handicap almost, you know? I think the West is still going to be super tough. It has shown that it's just gotten tougher with the addition of LeBron James. Now Boogie Cousins to the Warriors. You got the OKC lining up with Paul George. I feel they're going to be fighting for the fifth. Fifth seed is where they're going to be fighting for. Probably land up around six, I'd say.
Well, I mean, now there's seven active MVP candidates, or winners.
Prior winners.
All of them are into the West right now. So
see, that's why they like giving the MVP to as many people as possible. So they have that storyline out there. Like, we have all these past MVP winners. Well, now everyone knows the entire decade LeBron James has been in the league, he's been the MVP.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes down, looking at the last year's standings, 49 and 33, the Trailblazers were number three. So I think that they might actually, if they can get that 50 wins, they could be competing for a 3-4 spot, depending. So
I guess I'm relying much more on what they do.
Yeah.
They need a lot more right now, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're very, very young. Very young when it comes down to the players that they have that they haven't lost yet to free agency.
So. Aaron, what would you say? Where do you kind of expect your team to be when the season wraps?
I mean, I don't disagree with Derek, and I think the hard part, too, is you have all these new components coming in, so you do have that leadership of LeBron, but you still have these young... I mean, if Kuz stays, you know, if Lonzo stays, I mean, you still have young guys, so maybe there's the potential of Lonzo, but he's so young. So the caliber of player that LeBron is compared to the caliber of player that Lonzo is, they're not comparable.
Sure.
So even though that Lonzo has that potential to have the vision and to, you know, pass... it's just he's not there. And so there's going to be a lot of working pieces in this first year with LeBron. So, yeah, you know, I think I could if we come in at number five, I think that'd be a huge win for us Laker fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Just getting back into the playoffs.
It's
honestly.
Just back into the playoffs. The
yeah.
NBA, look, I
maybe want more. But.
I have love for Lakers fans because I know you guys, but I grew up hating the Lakers because you guys just beat the Warriors heads in year after year after year. It was like, it was a guaranteed four losses playing you guys most of my life, you know?
So now we feel your pain.
Yes, finally. I mean, it probably won't last nearly as long.
I'll say, do we really? Because the Warriors are bad for a long time.
Yes. No, you know, you have about 17 more years of suffering and then we'll be on par there. But the NBA is just a better league when the Lakers are relevant. And so this year...
And the Celtics now, too.
Agreed. And so. This year is going to be a lot of fun. I think it brings a lot more intrigue to the regular season. I did want to read a stat for you guys that I saw on Twitter yesterday, and this just blows my mind. So this is a list of all the active players who have made first-team All-NBA by conference. So in the West, you now have... LeBron James, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, DeAndre Jordan, Marc Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki, Derrick Rose. In the East, you have Joakim Noah, Dwight Howard, and Dwayne Wade.
Who?
Joakim Noah, Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade in the East.
Well, Dwayne formidable, Wade's, yeah. Formidable lineup right there.
I mean, and all those guys are way past their prime. Dwight Howard's the only guy.
Is Joakim Noah? Joakim Noah's off in the rainforest having himself a little happy-go-lucky trip.
Is he?
You haven't seen any of his videos right now?
No, are they amazing?
I think he's in Hawaii right now, and he's just like...
Well, good for him.
He's got Ricky Williams.
Oh, good for him. I mean, it's over for that guy. It's over for that guy. So, the West, that's one thing I wanted to get back to. The last time LeBron lived on either coast, he was in Miami. It was 2010. He was about 28, 29 years old. 2010. That was 8 years ago. So that would make him 25, 26.
Yeah. He made the decision when he was 25.
25. Yep. So he's 25 years old. That travel takes a toll on your body. And I'm very curious to see how the difference between LeBron from 25 to 29 and now LeBron going in to, he's going to be 34 this year. Yep. So he's going to be from 33 to 38 by the time this contract's over. It's going to be interesting to see how the travel schedule might affect him. Yes, sir.
No, keep going. Sorry.
Okay. I'm interested to see how the travel schedule might affect him. And beyond that, this ain't the East anymore. Night in, night out, you are going to have to go against some of the craziest talent you've had to face to this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
The East is loving it right now. They love life. Everyone who's in the East right now is like, oh my God, I have a chance now.
Right.
And you're just like, okay. It's like, that's kind of the sad part I feel. Other than seeing the great ball that's going to happen in the West.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference because that's now, I don't want to say wide open, but we have a couple contenders. We have more contenders than we've had in the past. Last year was LeBron's roughest time trying to get to the finals, I would say, in the eight-year run he's had. So I would say I think now you have a Boston team, a Philly team, who's right there on the precipice of making a finals run. Who do you guys think is the favorite? We'll start with you, Aaron. Who do you think is the favorite coming out of the East now?
I mean, if the Sixers can get it together, I'd say them, you know, because I think Boston is, you know, they haven't gotten it together. And as a Laker fan, I hate...
So, you can't say Boston.
I can't say Boston. I'm sorry. I can't say Boston. I hate them so much. So, you know, the Sixers looked pretty good, and they were really hoping to get LeBron, and I guess I'm not, you know, upset that they didn't. But, the East is looking pretty weak.
Yeah, it's pretty much a two-team race, I would imagine, even though, who knows, now Toronto doesn't have to go through LeBronto, so maybe they actually have a chance to make a run here.
They're like, oh, my gosh. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan can lead us to a championship round. Oh my God.
DeMar, I say it. Plus, I like it.
DeMar.
It's really going to, I don't know. I think this season, LeBron moving, LeBron just runs this league. It's crazy. But by him switching teams, this has made this actually, it's making way for a very interesting regular season. And I can't wait.
Yeah. LeBron done a great job of showing himself as pretty much one of the next guys to become an owner in the league, I feel. And that's kind of the cool part. You obviously know that him coming to LA means he's having an integral part in their decision making.
Yeah.
You know that was a pitch that Magic had to give him because that's something he obviously wants. Mm-hmm. He wants to have that role. And you know that every move that the Lakers are making, he's part of that. So this is just a next step for him. Because like I said, you see the fact that he signed a four-year contract, granted fourth year as an option. That's the longest one he signed since he went to Miami, so he never signed that long with the Cavs. Mm-hmm. I think this is a telltale sign that he wants to retire here, or not here in L.A.
Or just a show of faith that like Magic has a pedigree of being good at playing basketball and that he has faith that he's going to do something other than what Cleveland was able to do for him.
Well, Magic's killed it in both careers.
He has.
He killed it in the NBA, and he's been killing it in business ever since.
He's had some great draft picks, too, with the Lakers, so there's that as well.
I mean, there's pretty much not a business you can go into in, like, South LA that isn't owned by Magic.
Yeah.
He's killing it with the Dodgers.
He
for
is,
sure.
too. I mean,
so we're happy about doing, that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you know, and I was saying, I don't know if I said this on air already, but they now, Los Angeles now has the three greatest recruiters in the league. They have LeBron, they have Magic, and they have L.A. It's going to be easy to get big name free agents to sign up for that. Because LA, as you guys know, growing up there, is one of the places, one of the only places in the world, probably the only place in the world besides maybe some parts of New York, where you can be an ultra celebrity, super, super, super famous, and walk around with some level of anonymity because it's not that big of a deal because people are used to seeing stars.
That, and I think we don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care.
There's too much going on. I got my own thing to worry about. That is definitely
a life. I don't.
Yeah. But that's kind of the attitude of most Los Angelinos.
Like, we don't go stir crazy. It's like a person, I knew a guy that used to live in Paris, and he said he'd never been to the Eiffel Tower before. And it's like, when you live there, it's not a thing to you. It's like, yeah, I got my own thing to do. I got to go to work right now. I'll travel someplace else to go see that, but I'm not going to see my own. Like, there's places in LA I'll love to go to, but not the people. I don't care about the people whatsoever.
Definitely. Yeah. You can live there in anonymity, for sure.
Exactly. You can be a superstar.
You might get that star tours every once in a while. But
you're hanging out with other A-listers, and, you know, there's a Justin Bieber in that town. There's a Kim Kardashian in that town. Yeah. So there's plenty of distractions for the people there. I definitely want to talk about Boogie, but we have, like, 100 other things to get to. So
save it for next week?
No. We are we're just going to have to burn through these topics a little quicker than usual. So, Statman Brad, are you ready with your North State update?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do that.
He's got facts.
He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, everybody, that's right. It's time for the North State Update. And really the only thing going on right now in North State is the Chico Heat. The Heat went 6-1 since last Tuesday. The Heat moved to 23-6 on the season. They're 5 games ahead of the Lincoln Potters. And luckily for the Potters, they are playing them tomorrow at home for the Independence Day fireworks extravaganza. So come on out to the park on the 3rd, which is tomorrow, Tuesday. Come say hi to me up in the booth after the game and enjoy some fireworks and some great baseball. They're playing really well this time around. Just took 3 out of the 4 in Medford. Another top 3 team. Really good this year. You might actually see the Heat facing off against Medford this year for the playoffs once again for the 3rd time. So we'll see how that goes.
What time is the game tomorrow?
Game time is at 6:35. Gates open at 5. Tickets still on sale.
And a free fireworks show after.
And a free fireworks show. So
yes, sir.
Great, great seats still available. I believe there's still some first base side, which has some shade.
Yep.
By, I want to say, the 3rd inning. So come on out. Get your tickets. They go really, really quick. So
don't forget your sunscreen.
And don't forget your sunscreen. And don't forget your fun. It's always fun. It's always a good thing to have at the park. So
it's our country's birthday.
Exactly.
Okay? Come on.
Yes. Free fireworks. Come on, people. So make sure you go check out the Heat game tomorrow evening if you have the evening off. We want to thank you again for listening to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Broadcasting live from downtown Chico, California, we are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Velo, supporting bicycling education and advocacy since 1980. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bike and park it safely at our free bike valet at the Thursday night market. That's awesome. I didn't know that even existed. Saturday farmers markets and every Chico Heat home game. For more information, visit chicovelo.org. and find them on Facebook. So once again, we want to thank our sponsors, and we want to thank you, the listener, for lending us your ears for an hour on a Monday evening. Huge Monday evening. So much news to talk about. This is crazy. Derek, do you have some news for us?
I do.
All right, let's keep it brief because we have a lot to get to.
We do.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. I do have a news story for you that to me, honestly, I read it and it just caught my eye because this guy, he's pretty much the coolest dude I've ever read about. That is right. Richard Overton. We're going to call him a national treasure. He deserves to be known. He's a 112-year-old veteran.
Oh, what a boss.
And unfortunately for him, he was a victim of a stupid, heinous, cheap crime. And some of his life savings was taken from him. But the reason why I brought this story is because the way this guy lives, this guy, Richard Overton, he served on the beaches of Iwo Jima. He was in Guam, Palauma, all over the place during the Second World War. Now, he devotes his long life to God, whiskey, and cigars.
My man.
To which he smokes about a dozen a day.
Hey, get out of here.
A dozen a day.
So my man, Richard Overton, granted, hopefully gets his money back. I know he will because he's a national treasure and deserves to be cherished as long as he wants to live. Keep drinking that whiskey and cigars, my man, and believe in God. So apparently, this man, he went through a tough little time. As like I said, some people got a hold of his social security number and bank information and went a little crazy with it. However, his cousin, Valoma, discovered this. As he realized his account showed $0. But there's a GoFundMe campaign that is in effect right now, and you know how GoFundMe works, especially for a good cause like this. He's getting his money back and then some.
Do you have any figures on that?
I don't have any final figures on it right now. Like I said, it's still inactive right at this point. So if you would like to go to GoFundMe by helping out Mr. Overton, if you want to help that man out, he deserves it. Like I said, 112-year-olds, keeping it going.
That's insane.
I wouldn't always take his advice because I feel like it doesn't sound like a great combination, but if it works for him, it works for him. So find what works for you, y'all, and go with that.
Maybe start with 4 cigars a day and see how
it goes. Work. Yeah. So there we go. This one goes out to you, Mr. Richard Overton, for this 4th of July special update.
That's a great story. Yes.
So on his GoFundMe, he now has $434,000.
There we go.
Out of a goal of $500,000. So
he's 112. What is he gonna do with all that money?
Cigar, whiskey, and God.
Yeah, come on. All right.
Hey guys,
good whiskey is expensive, Aaron, and a good cigar.
You know my account almost says zero. So if you want to start a GoFundMe for me, you're more than welcome to. You can always hit me up on Venmo or the Cash App. Just let me know, Jarrell Gilbert. I am accepting donations. So I just want to put that out there.
Quick shout out to Brad right there. That saved your show right there.
Yes,
you did. That was perfect.
Yes, your performance has stepped up.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Show not good today?
No.
I just want to make sure. I was like,
your stats have been a little lackluster until right now.
Well, that was the best stat you've had.
Yes.
Been difficult at work.
10 for 10, we're keeping you around.
All right. So our LA correspondent, Erin Isamaki, is here.
Yay!
She is our expert in all things that we have no clue about. So, Erin, can you give us a little bit of an update on what happened at Wimbledon this weekend?
Just a quick update. It started today, so not too much has happened. There haven't been too many updates, but obviously there's the big names there. Nadal, Federer, Djokovic. And then on the women's side, Serena is back. We don't really have any huge women tennis player other than Serena and Venus. Venus is top 10.
Was that young girl?
Sloane. Unfortunately, she was out today. She was one of the big upsets. Sloane Stephens. She was out today. So she was one of our hopefuls, but she got booted today. Simona Halep is number 1. She's from Romania. Caroline Wozniak advanced today. Simona Halep plays tomorrow. So we've got Serena still in it. And Venus still in it. Venus is our only hope as an American. But Serena's playing, which is awesome.
Shout out to Serena. She's coming back. She just had a baby. Yeah.
She had a baby in September.
And she is back.
That's crazy.
So,
and she also is ranked 25th in the world right now. Isn't that
correct? Well, but technically not. What happens is her seed is actually 183. But the people that rank in Wimbledon have... it's subjective, so they were like, "We're gonna bump you," and I think that's fair.
She deserves that.
She absolutely deserves it. I think it's fair. So technically, not 25, but fair.
When she's retired, it's a fair ranking. Slot in Wimbledon,
it's a fair ranking. Absolutely,
her babies deserve slots in Wimbledon.
Yeah, her baby is ranked 200th in the world.
Yeah, no matter what, you're coming to Wimbledon, baby.
Yeah.
All right, well, we had a hell of a day at the World Cup, so let's go ahead and jump into Foot and Mouth.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a Barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, my gosh! The World Cup!
Can you not yell right into the mic?
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Pull yourself away from the mic.
All right. The World Cup!
Not helping. Maybe not yell. All right.
It's fantastic. I just have a booming voice. I can't contain myself. That is right. And guess what, y'all? It's not just me. I got the real voice in here. The validity behind everything I'm saying. Will Tomasini, what's up, my man? How we doing?
What's going on, everybody?
Just easy, quick question. Best cup you've ever seen?
It's definitely the most intriguing one.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never seen so many big teams just gone so quick.
If you haven't been paying attention at all, the big stars, pretty much everyone knows, they're out. Germany didn't even make it past the group stage.
Done.
Argentina, there's a guy named Mbappe. He's a 19-year-old. He's faster than everyone.
They're done. Still chasing him.
So, yeah, they can't find him. They don't know where he's at. Ronaldo, you can't even hold the ball for a couple touches. No shots for you. Barely any shots. Nothing. Completely contained. Cavani, Ronaldo'd him. I mean, did you see Cavani? Honestly, Ronaldo needs to get on the Portugal uniforms and say, yo, why aren't you making me look like Cavani out there? My God, those guys' pecs are amazing. And his abs, you can see it through his shirt. Ronaldo's like, you're not doing me justice, uniform makers of Portugal. I want everybody to know my greatness. I don't want to listen to my shorts for them to see how great my thighs are.
Well, last time he got a statue and we saw how that turned out.
That was bad.
There was a remake, though, and that one looked good.
It was
that
better.
One was better. Yeah. I actually saw that statue in person.
The real, like the first original one?
The first original one. It was at the airport in Portugal. And
they still displayed that.
Yeah, it's still out. And, I mean, it was horrifying.
Here's a guy who's a national treasure for Portugal.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's never, ever, ever in his life made a bronze statue before. Hey.
Seems like a match made in heaven.
Do it, my man. I believe in you. You're the Ronaldo of bronze statue making. No, not quite. So the cup has been fantastic. And then you had today where...
A fantastic game between Belgium.
Oh, my goodness.
And Japan.
Belgium and Japan.
Fantastic game.
Japan,
insane. That game was crazy.
Your heart goes out to Japan for how well they did.
Yeah.
Belgium, arguably one of the best-looking teams in the tournament at this time.
Yeah.
They had been playing the best ball,
yeah.
Scoring goals like they should be. Dominating teams they should be.
Yeah, I believe they scored the most goals in the...
They might be tied with Russia with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Them
yeah.
and England are close, but they did what they had to. And then they took on Japan, and Japan, from the get-go, just took it to them. No space allowed whatsoever. Always pressuring them the entire time. And their offensive attack was way more on point than Belgium. Belgium could barely keep the ball going. You got to shout out to Japan for what they did out there. They figured out a formula.
They pressed them almost the entire game, and it was incredible to see because, I mean, you're going to run out of gas at some point. You know, like, it's just human.
Yeah.
You know, it's just impossible to run after somebody like that. But they did. They pressed them high the whole time. And, I mean, the second goal that they scored was a legitimate... Beautiful goal. Like, the guy knew it before he even went in the net. He was running away. Like, he knew. It was like, oh, that's money.
When I saw the space happening, I was like, oh, my gosh, they're letting up something happen. Don't let anything stupid happen right now. Because as a guy who's Belgium is a team I kind of taken on. I like this team.
Sure.
I like playing with them on FIFA is pretty much the reason
Fair.
Why I like
I
them.
Do you too.
Know, they're a great team to play on. Yeah.
It's also the eighth team that Derek has taken in the World
yes.
Cup. But
Thank you for calling him out on that. That is so true. That is so true.
But when I saw that happen,
point.
I was like, they're letting something happen right now because the amount of space they had out there, they almost had not enough respect for Japan out there and their offensive prowess. Because Japan definitely ranked, 67th in the world?
Yeah, they're up.
They're up there.
At the bottom.
If they had beaten them, that would have been probably the biggest upset prior to Spain getting kicked out by Russia.
Yeah, no doubt.
Which, I mean, Spain, honestly, you could see that one happening.
It was coming. It was in the cards.
Like, they,
it was in the cards, especially how they played the first three games of the qualifications. It was just, I mean, they just got by. Honestly, they were real close to not making it.
Monaco deserved to beat them in that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They outplayed it. And honestly, Morocco should have beaten Portugal.
Did I say Monaco? Yeah. Morocco, I apologize.
Yeah.
Morocco.
Monaco is beautiful,
Monaco is a beautiful
so
place in France. It's a separate country. But Morocco. Beautiful. Morocco,
yeah.
Yes, they deserve a place.
Yeah, Morocco definitely deserved a point, if not 3 points, against Portugal. So, you know, it was kind of saw it coming. But... Belgium pulling that off today at the last minute. I mean, a beautiful dummy by Lukaku right at the end. You know, let the ball just run. Knew the guy was there and scored it. I mean, in the 92nd minute, 93rd minute.
I mean, that's how you want the game to end.
Yeah.
You know? And again, it hurts for Japan as they're obviously their desperate approach was to probably get it to PKs. That's probably
at that point.
But you can see Belgium was just pressing so hard the entire time this game because they knew if they lost this game, the shame.
I mean,
it would have been German-esque.
This is their golden era. You know, these are the best players they've ever had.
I mean,
so they got to capitalize while they can.
And you got to look at the guys, the stars on that team that didn't show up. Kevin De Bruyne had a lackluster game. He didn't seem like he was pressing the ball at all.
He was playing. It almost felt like he was out of his role. Like he normally plays more of an upfront midfield, sometimes maybe
directing
on the wing. And I feel like he was way too deep, receiving the ball way too deep, honestly.
He didn't. All his passes seemed to be very cautious in nature. He never really set himself up for an actual goal until the last moment, where it actually counted and redelivered a great ball to, was it Meunier?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. It was a perfect counterattack. I mean, Courtois honestly started that perfectly. Like, he had that save right there at the end because Japan was knocking on the door. Japan almost scored a third one to take the lead.
I said when Honda came on the field, I said this guy is, if Japan wins, he's going to be involved in the goal in some way, shape, or form. He does something every spectacular every time.
He shot that ball 35 yards out and it was going in.
Courtois saved the life for Belgium right there.
It was ridiculous.
That free kick, he's done it before in the past. I think he did it, was it 2010 World Cup in that South Africa? He had a fantastic free kick as well. So the World Cup, I know we're getting super in depth and y'all are probably thinking, what are we doing right now if you don't care about soccer? But we do here at TVP because this has been...
Well, this World Cup, man.
It's been... I mean, if you haven't been a fan of soccer and this is your first introduction into it, welcome to the world.
Yeah, I would be really happy.
You might have a little lackluster games every once in a while, but every game has had a twist to the tail in the last minutes.
Yeah, I mean, like, even just the France-Argentina game this weekend was incredible. I mean, back and forth, you know, Argentina with Messi, who was, quote-unquote, best player in the world, and going up against this young France team. And,
how do you feel Messi's reputation is now after this?
I feel like it's probably...
Does he maintain?
Takes a hit. He takes a hit. He gets a lot of criticism, and I understand, because, I mean, especially, like, some of the greats that went through Argentina, like that crazy man Armando Maradona. he's one, too.
The legend.
You know, so... He's like anointed.
And one of
at
them was
times.
On a the hand of God.
The hand of God. Everyone needs some luck.
Yeah, right.
So he gets definitely the raw end of the deal sometimes because I mean what he does is incredible, but it definitely takes a hit on his reputation. You can say whatever you want that winning the Champions League is the biggest achievement, but I think winning the World Cup for your country would be.
It shows much more of it because in the club team, you have much more of a chance of building that squad.
Correct.
And Leo Messi's team was built for him.
Yeah.
He had a system of guys around him that knew how to play, and they got to make sure that he got the ball in the proper areas.
The coach made some extremely weird decisions that
Argentina was not built that way.
No. And it was weird. He had people on the bench that combined for over 100 goals. In their leagues this past year, and he's putting on guys that are from like River Plate and Boca Juniors, and nothing against those guys, but you know this is a different stage.
Yeah.
You know this isn't playing like in the Argentina league. This is you're playing the world's best players.
You got to find a way to make
you
them
have
work.
To you make have it to, happen.
Like you, there's so much, there's too much buildup. Don't get me wrong, they're not always playing with each other, and you get that. But there is a long buildup of time for them to get before they got to this point. So they should have had an identity, and they never identified that at all.
And honestly, we saw it coming before even the World Cup started. I mean, they got thrashed by Spain 6-1, which, I mean, I guess now it doesn't really mean too much because they're both out. But they barely made it into the World Cup qualifications. They needed a hat trick on the last game of qualifications by Messi to get in. And they squeaked by. And then, I mean, the Iceland game, and then they got dismantled by Croatia. Absolutely.
And we haven't talked about them yet. A team that squeezed on by against so many great games that have been out there. Oh, my goodness.
That one also, to get a penalty and extra time, and it's like you can ice it right here. Nope. Got to go to a shootout. One of the weirdest shootouts I've ever seen.
The best goalkeeper in that game lost.
Yeah, I agree.
Lost that shootout.
Agreed.
He lost that shootout.
Agreed.
As Schmeichel. Casper Schmeichel, the ghost. Had a fantastic game, but Subacic out of Croatia just three out of the five penalties he took on, and he stopped them. And it just goes to show you that you can practice that all you want, but the moment in time, that pressure, it's you cannot emulate that any way, shape, or form.
No.
Modric knows that all too well, put at the spot when he had a chance to make sure he didn't even go to that penalty kick. Because let's face it, as a soccer fan, I think everyone knows the penalty kicks, they suck. But at the same time, it provides a level of tension that nothing else can ever touch.
Nothing. You hit the nail on the head. As a soccer fan, you hate when your team's going to penalty kicks. You're like, well, this is going to
As really a fan, suck. Though, it, like, you can't even watch it. That's how, but you still want to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be in the room, but I cannot watch this. Yeah. That level of tension, and like, that's how good it is. So it's definitely a catch 22 for them, and what how to do them in. But they found a way to a formula that people love, and I just didn't even turn it off. So the World Cup, y'all keep watching. There's still great games. Tomorrow we got England versus Colombia. That is a later game.
That's gonna be huge.
That's a great one. I mean, England is on a side right now where they make a correct run. They're in the World Cup final.
Yeah, and it actually can. I was looking at the brackets. It could line up to where they have more favorable draws to go up.
Oh yeah,
to get all the way to the end. Because if they win this game, then they'll play the winners, I believe, of
Sweden
and Switzerland.
Yeah,
which nothing against those teams. Which I'm kind of impressed by both of them. England should, on paper, beat them.
But this Colombia draw that they have is a hurdle that they cannot ignore. If James Rodriguez is out there playing at full force, which they said he is going to be playing, they said he had no serious injury from what we've
read. That's what I read also.
So he should be out there. And if that's the case, he looked fantastic in that second game.
He did.
And if you have that same type of James where you can able to give Falcao that space and that perfectly timed passing, they're going to be a tough opponent that England hasn't really faced. Opposed to Belgium, even when they're facing Belgium, they didn't have their top stars in, and they weren't really trying that hard.
Exactly, they were up against. They knew they were going through. That's the one thing that I would be scared if I was a fan of the British team, because their defense is where they have a couple holes and stuff like that. Especially Kyle Walker, he relies a little bit too much on his speed, and you can catch him up the pitch. And Colombia has a couple fast wingers themselves, and Cuadrado, who can blaze the grass.
If you ever play FIFA, y'all, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, just hit the right trigger and just push forward.
Since it's the same thing as playing real soccer.
Yes,
not at all. But at the same time, you get like the same. Like you get this guy is fast.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, that guy's fast. I know he's fast on FIFA, so like, they mimic it as best as possible.
So,
but I know you all are probably again out there thinking, my God, we've really dived into soccer, and this has become the Will and Derek show at this point.
And we will continue to do so over the next coming week. So look forward to that.
Yeah, I hope you all enjoying it. But at this point in time, who's your favorite to win it all?
Well, I mean, last time I was on here, I said Germany, so that was way off.
We didn't want to bring that up to you, but I'm glad you just announced it.
No, I know who
I was trying to still keep your validity around.
I was going to ask you, who did you say last time, since Derek has changed his mind week?
So far, my team I announced at the beginning was France, and I did not like the performance in the group stage, and I kind of said Belgium.
I agree.
But
I'm pretty sure you took France, Belgium, Spain, Nigeria, Senegal.
Mexico.
Everyone, they all have chances.
Monaco.
Out of this draw that's left right now, including the teams that we have left to figure out for the quarterfinal.
It's tough. If Cavani's healthy, I wouldn't want to see Uruguay, because they have the best defense in the entire World Cup, and everyone knows defense wins you championships, and that's extremely prevalent in soccer, because if you can just score one and just defend for the rest of the game, and you're good at it, and you know you're good at it, it's game over. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo was absolutely neutralized.
I mean, they tried so hard to get the ball, and then they ended up having to get guys who you don't even know take their shots at the end, and
you know,
it's like
Pepe goal happened.
It's a set piece, you know, those things are going around.
But
I mean, you got to give a shout out to Cavani, a guy that honestly has catched a lot of flack in his, especially club career, for being a guy that is the best at looking bad. He's finally showed up the stage. So shouts to them and Suarez. Fantastic matchup. Hopefully he's out there.
Yeah, I agree. If he's out there, then that's going to be a great game.
World Cup update, y'all.
Looking forward to
it. Keep it going.
And the game's on Friday. Just to let everyone know. Uruguay and France is the morning game. Brazil, Belgium, sorry, can't read or speak English, is the game at 11. So
another tough day right there.
Yeah.
Whew.
That's going to be
great games all around.
That's going to be fun. Will, thank you as always, my man.
Always,
we appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will hopefully see you next week,
yeah,
if it works out for you.
Hopefully in a few minutes, too.
Yeah. Definitely yeah. we'll do that yeah. also. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct, yeah. correct. But like I said, we had some big news to start the show, so we need to, we definitely need to talk about that. Get on up on the floor, 'cause we gonna boogie, oogie, oogie, till you just can't boogie. Boogie, we got him. He's a warrior. The funny thing is, I mean, there's a lot that's kind of funny about this to me. But I would say the biggest thing that I find hilarious is I spent an hour and a half of my evening last night writing up why the Warriors need to trade someone this offseason or next, and how they need to be pursuing Anthony Davis or Boogie, but they're not going to. And I wrote this big long thing about the mistake Bob Myers is making by staying idle and da-da-da. And then they do this. What did, they didn't give anything up, right? It wasn't a sign-in trade? They just picked him up?
Sign-up, yeah. yeah.
Wow.
I mean, so, again, wow. 1 year, what is it, $5.8
million?
$5.3 million.
Boogie! I am so happy.
Let's listen to this starting lineup. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green,
garbage.
Boogie Cousins.
Oh, my God.
That starting lineup.
They were all all-stars last year.
It's an all-star lineup right there. Starting. There's not like somebody that's like, he's okay, he's good.
Those all
These
guys
are
been,
stars.
They've been voted in.
Yeah.
How much do you think LeBron hates the Warriors?
I think is like a biggest dig at LeBron James Boogie Cousins to do. Because he saw the relationship that he had with Kyrie Irving and how Kyrie Irving hated it. I mean, you saw the constant him of being compared, like, he's not my, like, the father figure that LeBron has always seemed to be. Yeah. And Kyrie never wanted any part of that. He's like, no, he's not my father. So I think Boogie's like, I don't want this, like, guy to, like, pester over me. I want to be able to have a little fun, get a little down, have fun tonight.
I just think part of the reason Boogie's doing this, it's probably just a one-year deal because he needs to go make his money. Yep. And the Warriors have no, I mean, they are hundreds of millions of dollars over the luxury tax this year. They're going to be paying so much to that luxury tax, which, again, doesn't really matter when you are winning the finals every year because that playoff revenue is more than making up for it. Teams make around $30 million a game during the NBA playoffs. So they are more than making up for that luxury tax hit. My guess, much as Nick Young tried to do this past year, a much lesser player, I'm not comparing their games, but just the kind of reputation they have as being troublesome, emotional, immature, all that kind of thing. Nick Young came, wins a championship. He's going to get his bread somewhere. And just to play, the culture's already been established. I think this is one thing that was probably appealing to DeMarcus Cousins without knowing. The culture's been established with the Warriors over the past 6 years, really, now. And then once Kerr got there, they started winning championships. Obviously, it's really been cemented the last 4 years. Whereas LeBron is going into an entirely new situation with an entirely new front office. Well, Jeannie Buss has obviously been running the show for a while now since she fired her own brother, and Dr. Jerry Buss passed away some years ago.
You say that like that's such a bad thing.
No, it was the best thing they could have done was firing her brother. That guy was all over the place.
He's on the Lakers hate list.
Yeah.
Jim Buss.
Jim Buss. So, I just think it's going to, I think LeBron, obviously, he signs a four-year deal there, which kind of signifies he knows this isn't an overnight fix, and it's going to be a process. And I just don't know that Boogie would be inclined to go rebuild somewhere else when he could go win a championship most likely with, I mean, this lineup needs, I mean, if they do anything less than win a championship, it's utter disaster.
I got to feel that someone's on their way out with this move. With Boogie signing around that, because the idea with Klay Thompson becoming an agent, a free agent next season, that is he going to stick around for this team? It depends. I mean, maybe they all gel really well together. But again, you have another guy out there on the court. He's going to be taking shots away from Klay Thompson. He's going to be put back down on that list.
No team in the history of the NBA will have more technical fouls than the Golden State Warriors this year. If we could just get Rasheed Wallace out of retirement, it would be amazing. Between KD, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins, this is going to be a sight to behold, and I cannot wait. They're and the most like hateable bruisers, team in the NBA just became even more hateable.
Oh, yeah. No one likes them.
No.
It's ironic, though, because Steph is such a likable guy, and I feel like he's such a nice guy, but he surrounds himself with people that are so hateable.
Clay's like the neutral guy. No one cares about
No one cares because he just chills and cares about Instagram models, hooping, and his bulldog. That's all Clay cares about.
There you go.
And partying in China. China Clay is the greatest version of Clay Thompson ever.
And getting stuffed by the rim.
Well, yeah.
Don't do 360s, Clay. That's not your game.
Well, to be fair, he did just get off a 16-hour flight.
But again,
I'm a Clay apologist. Dog. I love
don't
that guy.
Don't do 360s, Clay. That's not your game.
Yeah. He's never busted one in a game. I'm going to get off a plane in China, and I'll just bust out a 360.
I mean, are you trying to say like he was tired because a plane trip from China made him tired so he can't make a jump?
I mean, if you were asked to run a race right as you got off a plane, an hour after you got off a 16-hour flight, would you be like, yeah, let me do
this? I could put in a good 100-yard sprint. I could tell you that.
He might pull a hammy, though.
Derek, so. you have the most disproportional view of your athletic feats or abilities.
I could give you a good 100 yards is all
I'm
saying.
Depends on what your definition of good 100 yards is.
Yeah, a 14-second 100-yard dash.
There you go.
Yeah. I would kill it. Oh, man. Well, this was fun. What a day. What a day in free agency. The NBA has absolutely locked it down. Once again, we want to thank our man Will, Aaron Isamaki, obviously. And we want to thank you, the listener.
I got one last story before we do so.
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
One last thing. On the World Series of Poker, I broadcasted it, teased it for y'all. Aaron and I were literally watching this as we were walking out. It was really the first type of first day of the World Series of Poker happened today. And last year's champ, good old Scott Blumstein, was eliminated. First guy.
All right.
Eliminated. Today.
Yeah, today.
On day one.
On day one.
That's crazy.
First guy eliminated. One
That's
last
crazy.
Year, he's out.
Well, that's going to do it for us here at TBP. Once again, want to thank Will Tomasini, Aaron Isamaki, Statman Brad, Derek. I'll thank myself, too. I made it here. So it's been real, y'all. We will see you next Monday, 5:30 p.m. Make sure you go and download the Talking About Practice podcast. We're hoping to have Aaron on the pod this week, which will be a lot of fun. You can just Google search it. We're on like a million different platforms. I was just Googling it myself, and I don't even know what half these things are. So wherever you get your podcast, just search Talking About Practice. It's a thoroughly entertaining podcast, so do yourself a favor, people. Treat yourself and check that out. But again, it's been real. We'll catch you guys next week right here on FM 90.1 KZFR.
Game over, man. It's game over.